All right, we are continuing our study on vertical and horizontal relationships, and the vertical comes first. And we have learned that until we get our heart right and aligned with God's Word and determined and diligent to follow the Spirit of the Lord, then our horizontal relationships aren't going to be that solid either. The vertical comes first, and then the Lord works through us to enhance our relationships with others. But first comes our relationship with the Lord. Now, last time we were together, we stopped on page 5 of our study guides. And the main thoughts there that we were building from were that we must be intimate with the Lord before we're going to have an impact on anybody. You know, we're talking about vertical and horizontal relationships. And just to ask yourself the question, you know, is my influence affecting sinners? It should be. I have the treasure of heaven on the inside of me and the light of God I'm reflecting. Or is my sinfulness affecting my influence? Because when the horizontal when the vertical relationship is solid, and I know who Jesus is in me, and I know who I am in Him, then I can begin to impact and influence those around me. So intimacy precedes impact. Relationship with the Lord is more important than ministry. How can I minister for Jesus if I don't know Jesus well? I can't, and I'll do damage that way because I won't represent Him well if I don't know Him well. So our passion needs to be for Jesus, not for a ministry. We want His ministry, not our ministry. And then ministry is just an outflow of that relationship with Jesus. And our person is more important than our acts, although what we do is important. But when our person gets right vertically, then our acts will line up with doing things the way Jesus would do them and treating people the way Jesus would treat them. And the place that we are beginning tonight is this next portion, which says that God has called us to obedience, not performance. Now, it isn't that what we do doesn't matter. It's just that we don't know what to do until we hear the Lord helping us know what to do and telling us what to do. And then we walk a faith life, which is what we're supposed to walk. So when the vertical relationship is right, then the actions will line up. Well, you know, we've talked about what would Jesus do in this situation. Well, if I'm not listening to Jesus, how do I know? How do I listen to Him? How do I know what He would do? Well, He is His Word. The Word is Jesus. So when I know the Word and when I look at the life and ministry of Jesus, then I understand how my life will look and what ministry will look like, feel like, reproduce as it comes through me. And it's not about my performance. I believe we've used this scripture with most of the study guides that we've taught recently, and that is that in John 5:30, Jesus said, "Of myself, I can do nothing." And yet, we read that, and that's Jesus talking. That's in red letters in your Bible. If Jesus Himself said that, and then He went on to say, "But I judge by what I hear." And in other words, I make my decisions, I live my life by what my Father tells me. And that is obedience, which we understand is far more important than sacrifice. Now, the scripture reference that we're given here is in 1 Samuel 15:22, and you probably remember this account, as the scripture records it, that it deals with Saul when he's the king and Samuel when he's the prophet, and when their two lives and purposes, you know, interfaced with each other in this time. And Samuel represented the voice of God to the king. Samuel had given Saul, the king, instruction after he anointed him, and he told him some things to do. And it's difficult to just tell part of this without telling all of it. But the bottom line is that Saul didn't listen. he decided rather than doing it the way the prophet had instructed him to do this. This involved a battle where Saul was told to take his army and utterly annihilate, utterly destroy all of the Amalekites. And that was the word of the Lord through the prophet to the king. But Saul had another way of doing it. He did it his way instead of the Lord's way. And he did destroy some of the Amalekites. He was to destroy all of the people and all of their animals. But he saved some for what he thought was a good purpose. He saved the king, and he saved the animals, some of them, for sacrifice. So when the prophet finally gets to Saul, he's already offered the sacrifice and everything. And Samuel says, "Why did you do this thing?" Because the Lord told Samuel what Saul had done, and that's in verses 10 and 11. So whenever Samuel comes to Saul, he asks him in verse 14. Well, let's go back to 13. Samuel goes to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I've performed the commandment of the Lord." So Saul says, "I have done what God said to do." But had he? He did lie. He had not done what God said to do. And that's what the prophet confronts him with. Samuel says to Saul, "Then what is the bleating of the sheep that I'm hearing, and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them, the people. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." So you see, Saul did part of what he was to do, but he didn't obey. He performed it the way he wanted it to be. He did what the people wanted, and he didn't do what God wanted. And then he lied to the prophet about what he had done. And Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Now, you want to hear what God said? I'm going to tell you what God said about this." And he said to him, "Well, tell me." So Samuel says, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. And I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So you see, Saul is justifying. And we get all too good at justifying a wrong performance. And the Lord isn't impressed with this at all. And neither is Samuel. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now, obeying the voice of the Lord, we're going to equate with being led by the Spirit, because that's the time we live in. We are led by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, if we will be. So behold, to obey, and this is verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, obedience is better than any performance. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then he goes on to say, and this is extremely serious, and the consequences are devastating for Saul. He says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. And I can hear Saul saying, but I did a lot of what he said. Samuel has told him, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble before the Lord, you were the king. But now you're big enough in your own eyes that you're going to just circumvent what the Lord has spoken to you and do it your way anyway. He says, because you've rejected the word of the Lord has also rejected you from being king. And then he goes on to tell Saul, I won't come anymore to you. And he didn't. It says that he did not come again to Saul until the day of his death. But he mourned for Saul. He did tell Saul, however, that the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today. What you decided to do cost you. Not your anointing, because God doesn't take that away. He was set apart as the king of Israel, but it cost him his role of fulfilling that purpose, didn't it? The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And he's referring there to David. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. And he's talking about the Lord there. So, serious consequences. And yes, that was under the old covenant. That was under the law. And we know that we're under grace. But God never changes. So his outlook on disobedience has never changed. His mercy prevails in our life because of the covenant we have is a better covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. And the price for our sins has been paid. But God hasn't changed his perspective on missing the mark or sinning or being big enough in your own eyes to think you know better than what God says. So we're called to obedience. Jesus learned obedience, the scripture said. He learned obedience, even unto death. Now his physical death and spiritual death were the one sacrifice. That was the one sacrifice that was sufficient to take care of our sins. So we're not called to physical sacrifice, but we are called to crucify our flesh daily and be led by the Spirit. So this is the walk we walk. And to disobey the voice of the Lord, to disobey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to grieve the Holy Spirit when we know what he has said to do and yet we go our own way, puts us right in the same category as Saul. It's disobedience. Old covenant, new covenant, disobedience is disobedience. And to obey is better than sacrifice. So when we operate in obedience, then our performance will line up with what God told us to do. We walk by faith. When we hear, then we have faith to do what God has told us to do. And all of this is taking us to a recognition of who we are, which is the next topic in the study guide. We must know Jesus by the Spirit, not by the form. Now, religion has a form, but it denies the power of God in that form. It shapes itself and conforms itself to its own denomination, its own doctrinal beliefs, or the traditions of that religion, or whatever, the dictates of men. But Jesus said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth, not through any form. Religion can't get us there and won't get us there. In fact, it'll take us away from the Lord. So we must know Jesus by the Spirit, not the form. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? He lives on the inside of us. A form is external. So what we're talking about is we must, as spirit beings, born-again believers, who now have a new nature about us, we must be learning to be more spiritual than we are carnal. To be born again is to have a newly created heart, a newly created spirit. But that mind of ours that's still part of who we are has not been trained by the Spirit. In fact, it's been programmed by the world for many, many, many years. And so for us to conform to the image of Jesus, which is our destiny, we're predestined to do that, and I'll give you some scriptures for this in just a minute, is going to require a diligence on our part. We must become disciples of the Word. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to know Jesus by the Spirit. You know, even with His own disciples who walked with Him in the earth, have you ever thought this? I imagine most of us have. Man, I would love to have been around when Jesus was here. And I think all of us feel that way. Or maybe you've been privileged to go to Israel and, you know, that walk, knowing you're walking on the same ground that Jesus Himself walked on in His physical body and in some of the same areas that He lived and, you know, moved and had His being over there in that particular country would be, I think that would be a magnificent experience. But do you know that it would have made it harder if you think about it? Because Jesus' disciples knew Him in His physical form. They were used to being right with Him. They were connected by heart, but they were also connected tangibly, physically. I mean, they could reach out and touch Him. When they got scared, they could call or they could wake Him up and get Him to do something about a situation. When they were, you know, communing with Him, they could lean over on His bosom like John did. They were used to His physical touch, and they saw Him demonstrate things in the earth that were, you know, unprecedented in the demonstration of who God is, the Father is. But there came a point, even in His own earthly ministry, where Jesus called them to Himself and He said, "Things as you know them are getting ready to change. There's going to be a transition here. And it is expedient that I go." And of course, their first question is what ours would have been. Where are you going? Why do you have to go? How are we going to get there? We don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're talking about. Don't leave us. I think we would have felt the same way. That's very natural. So in a sense, we have an easier walk in that blessed are those who believe having not seen. Okay, Jesus said that. So we know Jesus by the Spirit, and that's the only way we'll know Him in this earth. You know, as long as we're in this body, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So we look at some scriptures in Luke 24, for example, and let's go there. We learn that once Jesus was crucified and was buried and resurrected, that His own people didn't really recognize Him. Those who should have didn't know Him. Let's look at Luke 24 for just a moment. verses 13 through 35. Did I read this last time? Maybe not. I'm going to read it anyway. Starting in verse 13. Now, this is Jesus, you know, after the disciples have seen Him crucified and they've seen Him put in the tomb. But they've been told that He's alive, because Mary has seen Him. And it says in verse 13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." And that was the, you know, the trial, or mock trial, the beating of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the burying of his body, and then the resurrection that they've heard a report of. So they were talking about all the things which had happened, and in verse 15 it says, so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, while that was going on, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they didn't know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, indeed. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Now, we know that was Peter and John from other scriptures that we read. And then he said to them, Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that would have been the things from the Old Testament. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. Now, we know that Mary didn't recognize Jesus in his... See, a resurrected body and a physical body are different. And I don't know what a glorified body is going to look like, but I know that it is a spiritual body. But right now, we're in a natural, physical body that has limitations. And so for us to operate from the inside by our spirit man, who is to control and have rule over our natural man, is not a natural thing. The carnal thing is to operate in the natural. The carnal thing is to do what you've always done. The carnal thing is to do what Saul did and do what you think you should do instead of doing what God said to do. But the spirit man hears what God says to do and longs to obey what God says. So we have this tug of war going on between our spirit man, which is newly created, and our old man, which is crucified with Christ, and yet lives so that Christ can live through us. But that process is not automatic, and it is not instant like the new birth is instant. We're recreated. Our spirit is recreated instantly when we receive Jesus and confess him as our Savior and confess him as our Lord. But being conformed to his image is a lifelong journey. And we're always pressing toward that mark as believers. And that's what this whole piece is about. These disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, they did not have who we have living inside them yet. They had seen Jesus perform the miracles. They had walked with him. They had even done the works themselves. But it wasn't in the performance that they knew Jesus. He told them that. I'm going the way you know me. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. I'm sending the Comforter who's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. Now that's the Holy Spirit we have access to as born-again believers. So that makes our walk in the Spirit a possibility. As of yet, these men had not received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. They had done some of the same works Jesus had done. By faith in his name, they did things. They had healed. They had done some of the same things Jesus had done. But they didn't know him by the Spirit yet. They knew him by performance. You see? So they too had to come to the place that they operated out of the Spirit because Jesus left them physically. That's where we live. Okay? We're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we live in a potential to walk and talk and think and operate the same way that Jesus the Word does. Okay? Now, the thing about the Lord is, and I want to give you some scriptures for this. You see, our circumstances, even our own physical bodies, change all the time. Things around us change. Things inside us change chemically. We grow physically. All kinds of changes take place throughout our whole life. I was born again in my 20s. That was 40 years ago. My physical body has changed since then, believe me. Everything changes about us in the natural. But the thing that doesn't change, the one who doesn't change, is the Lord. And that is our anchor in this journey. That's the one thing we can count on. Everything else is subject to change. So we have to get so in tune with the Lord, so intimate with the Lord by the Spirit, that no matter how he talks to us, we know it's him. No matter how he comes to us, we know it's him, so that we can be led by the Spirit. All right? So in verse 6 of Malachi 3, here's the one you can count on. I just want to give you these scriptures. Because a lot of people say, well, how do I know what God is saying? How do I know it's God? Well, if we know the Word, and if we continue to put the Word in us, then more and more and more we will recognize Jesus when he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, just like these disciples finally did recognize Jesus. When was that? Was it when they walked with him? No, they didn't know who they were talking to. In fact, they told Jesus, we hoped he was the one who was going to deliver Israel. They were telling that to the deliverer. They didn't know who they were talking to. And then he expounded the word to them. He explained the word to them. And they said about that, didn't our hearts burn when he taught us like that? But was it in the teaching that they recognized him? No, because they went right on walking. And finally, when they asked him to come sit with them and stay with them, you see, now think of that as abiding. Jesus, come abide in me, and I'm going to abide with you. And sup with me. Let's eat together. Well, our spirits are to eat with Jesus. Do you know what Jesus said? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. And his disciples said, whoa, what is this you're saying? And a lot of them left him from that very day. But do you know what he was saying to their spirit? Eat my word. Take me into you. Take my covenant. That's my blood. The blood of my covenant is yours. Take that covenant into you. Sup with me. Commune with me. What we just said, be intimate with me. That's how you will know me. So we have the Word of God, people. The very Word of God. We've got from the Old Testament all the way through the Revelation, from the beginning to the end. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's all the way through this book. And the more we eat this true bread, the bread of heaven is right here. The more we eat this bread, the more our spirit recognizes this word. And the more we're led by His Spirit, the more we know what He's saying to us. And I just realized it's time for me to stop. I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, we'll stop here. I hear him downstairs, and we'll come right back because the Lord, He'll hover right here by His Spirit till we can get right back in this place.